Welcome to Journal of a Medical Intuitive. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest. This is episode 21, What Your Healing Journey Can Teach You. Now, I know I've been gone for a while. I apologize for the absence, but I have been busy. I have launched my Metatrons Academy online school where you can learn medical intuition from me. And you can find that course at medicalintuitiontraining.com. It took quite a while to translate all of the courses I was teaching live onto an online format where anybody can access it. It's a work-at-your-own-pace course, and it's very reasonably priced compared to other courses out there, and it's based on many years of experience. So I do hope you'll avail yourself of that medical intuition course at medicalintuitiontraining.com. I've also been busy planning my book launch for my book, The Ethical Psychic, which is on sale for pre-sale online and will be released October 11th. And I've also been working on my medical mystic book. But it's time for another episode, and I wanted to talk about the ways in which your healing journey can help you and teach you. And I'm thinking about this more these days because I've been going through my own healing journey for the last 20 months, and it's been it's been like a refresher course for me in what it's like to be on the other side of the gurney. I've been helping people for many years, and I came to this work as a medical intuitive because of my own healing journey, dealing with medical mysteries and misdiagnosis for many years. And that's really what pushed me into this field. And that's a perfect example of what a healing journey can teach you. One of the things that a healing journey often does for people is it puts them on a new path in life. And so my having all of those ailments starting in my 30s and having all of those difficulties with medical practitioners of various modalities put me onto a new path. And because of that, I'm now a medical intuitive and I'm now able to help a lot of people. And so I call that the gift of being sick. Most people don't think there's any gift in being sick. When you're in it, you're just miserable. And it's hard to see the silver lining. But this is one of the things that medical intuition brings to the table. It brings this greater consciousness about the deeper meaning of illness. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, both in terms of my personal experience, in terms of what I've learned from my clients. There's four main things, I think, that getting sick teaches us. One, it teaches us what needs changing in our life. Two, it teaches us what needs removing. Who needs removing? It's often a who. Three, what isn't working? And four, what new path are we meant to be on? How are we being pivoted? So I'll give a couple of examples from my own life. When I was very sick, starting in the 1990s, I was a very healthy person. I was a very fit person who ate a healthy diet and had very healthy habits. I had done my therapy. I had a lot of, healthy activities that were just normal for me, like running a few times a week and eating fruits and vegetables, following a vegetarian diet, avoiding fast food, avoiding soda, not smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol. I had a lot of healthy habits, right? And a habit's not the same as, an occasional practice. A habit is something you do all the time. And I actually had habits, healthy habits. And so I was initially very confused when I got really sick. And so were my doctors, who eventually diagnosed me with a heart condition, because I didn't have, what they consider risk factors. And because of that, I had to think more about, okay, if I don't have the regular risk factors, what's causing this? And what I realized was that in my case, a big part of what was causing my condition was overwork and insufficient sleep and also stress, especially the stress of racism and sexism. And these are things that aren't very well understood, not only in the allopathic medical community, but also in the healing community in general, because even today, many of the healing summits and healing institutes and healing fields are controlled by people who don't experience racism on a regular basis and aren't aware of the impact that can have on your health. And so this really took me down a path of reflection. And then when I became a medical intuitive, I started to see so many cases of people who were on these healing journeys, and they didn't necessarily have traditional risk factors or causes. There wasn't a clear explanation for why they were sick. And that's why they end up coming to see me, right? The people with medical mysteries go see medical intuitives because they've gone to see the traditional practitioners and they haven't gotten answers. And sometimes it's because their causes are not well known. The causes that are causing their condition are not well known in the mainstream healing practice. And so this really has provoked within medical intuition a really deep dive into what really causes illness. And, you know, as I've explained in earlier episodes, you know, illness has multiple causes: physical causes, mental causes, emotional causes, and spiritual causes. And a lot of times people don't get better because they're focusing on only one type of cause. And so a lot of times when people go to doctors, the doctors will only focus on a physical cause. And if there is an emotional cause, then they will say, well, either it's emotional or it's physical. And this happens a lot with female patients, that when they go to the doctor will say, oh, you're just having, you're having an illness because of an emotional problem. You're stressed out, or, you know, there's some kind of emotional. And then they'll decide not to run tests or not to actually try to pursue finding out what's physically wrong, because it's like, oh, no, it's emotional. But the reality is, illnesses are usually a combination, right? It's usually both an emotional cause and a physical. Sometimes an emotional, a physical, and a mental. Sometimes emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. And so figuring out one cause is never going to be enough if there's more than one cause. So a lot of the people that come to a medical intuitive, they've been on really challenging healing journeys. And what do I mean by healing journey? I mean somebody who's been sick for a really long time, or who has been through an incredible amount of pain or disruption, and it's really, you know, it's taken up a chunk of their life in a meaningful way, so that you can't think of it as just an incident, but it's really a journey. It's something they've been dealing with over time and space. And so there's a reason for that. There is always a reason that people are going through a healing journey. And I have found that when my clients can come to some understanding of why they're on this healing journey, then they are then on the path to recovery. It's not enough just to know how. Oh, you got sick because you were exposed to this virus this other person had, and you were in the same room. That's how you got sick. But why did you get sick? No one else in the room got sick. Why you? Why now? Right? That why question is really important. And healing journeys can be really revolutionary in the way that they can raise your consciousness, cause you to be more introspective, more reflective, deepen your spirituality, your spiritual understanding, help you to become more emotionally aware of what you're actually feeling. In terms of mental causes, it can help you to become more conscious of, you know, what are those mantras in your head? What things are you repeating to yourself over and over again without even thinking about it that are actually harming you? And so going through the healing journey and getting out on the other end can be very powerful. But let me give myself as an example, because as many of you know, I was in a very bad car accident about 20 months ago in October of 2020, which was hugely disruptive to my life. In fact, I have not actually seen clients since the accident. And I also had to stop teaching most of my classes in person. And on first blush, it might look like a terrible thing, right? This terrible thing happened. There was a distracted driver. They weren't paying attention. And they didn't have insurance. And you know, because of a lot of bad decisions that that person made, my life was severely disrupted. And the lives of all my clients and students was disrupted. And so, of course, I have some emotions around that: anger, resentment, frustration, sadness, right? And so, of course, in healing, I have to deal with all those emotions. I have to, first of all, feel them, allow myself to feel them, recognize them, take account of them, understand them, and then at a certain point, release them, right? But what did the healing journey teach me? What did it tell me needed changing, right? The first thing is you learn what needs changing. Well, one of the things that needed changing in my life was my incredible work schedule. Right before the accident, I was working like a madwoman. I was traveling between several different cities, offering classes and ceremonies in various cities throughout Northern and Southern California. I was running an apprenticeship program. I was seeing many, many clients in different cities. I was flying back and forth, staying in different places, renting multiple offices and venues, and handling all of my own marketing, and working, you know, 15-hour days. I wasn't resting very much. I wasn't socializing very much. We were also in a pandemic, so of course that cut out the socializing and just gave me more opportunity to work. you don't have to spend time traveling, no time shopping, no time going out to eat. There's a lot more time to work. And so one of the things that my accident taught me, that my healing journey taught me, was that one of the things that needed changing in my life was my work schedule. I did not have work-life balance. A second thing, what needs removing, or who needs removing? What I've learned, and what you will often learn if you are dealing with either a long-term chronic illness or a serious disability or injury like I've dealt with, is that it will reveal people to you. People will reveal themselves in the face of your illness or injury. And a lot of people really don't handle illness well. And so you'll have a lot of people that when one of their friends develops a chronic illness or an illness that hasn't been diagnosed or a disability that changes that person in some way that, you know, restricts their ability to do things they used to do, that a lot of people will not handle that well. And while that can be upsetting when you're the person who's sick or disabled and people who you thought were going to be there for you aren't there for you, or not only they're not there for you, but they're lashing out at you or treating you badly, that can be very upsetting. But it's also very illuminating because it lets you know who needs removing from your life. Who and what needs to be removed, right? What are the toxic elements? So friends, family, neighbors, students, clients, co-workers, who is no longer a healthy element of your life? Gets really super clear when you're really sick or disabled because people reveal themselves. This can be really disturbing for some of my clients, because a lot of times what gets revealed to my clients when they're in the middle of a really distressful healing journey is that they'll realize that their partner, you know, their life partner, is not the right person for them, because when it comes to dealing with their illness, they they can't or they won't. They're not available to be there for them, or they start acting out. And suddenly the person realizes, wow, this spouse is not a life partner. This is somebody I marry, but this is not a life partner. And so a lot of times I have clients coming to me and I advise them, I say, you know, you might want to reevaluate this relationship because it's really contributing to your not recovering. And you may find that with family members or with others in your life. I definitely saw that after my injury and disability, that certain people started behaving badly, and I realized some things about them. And that was very helpful for me to see. I think I wouldn't have been able to see that if I hadn't had the injury. Another thing it reveals is what isn't working. What isn't working in your life? So we sometimes just overlook what isn't working and focus on what is working. But illness can take you away from your life. It can set you apart from your life in such a way that you're able to see things more clearly. And I was able to see things more clearly about some of my teaching. I realized some of my teaching wasn't working, that I was expending a huge amount of energy on teaching, and I wasn't charging a lot of money because I wanted my classes to be accessible. And I thought that was the way to do it, to make sure that, you know, a lot of people could benefit. But it wasn't until I got injured and could no longer do that, that I realized, you know, that wasn't working. Because I could see that some of the people who were getting all of this healing from me in my courses, there was a way in which they weren't really taking responsibility for things in their life, because they could just count on me and getting all this free healing and free advice and cheap training. And it wasn't forcing them to step up. And so I was able, in the context of this long recovery, to see that certain things that I thought were working were not really working. What new path are you meant to get on? That was made really clear to me. I mean, fortunately, I have guides that talk to me very clearly and have talked to me my whole life. And so, of course, as soon as the accident happened, I asked them, why did this happen? And they made it really clear why it happened. And, of course, they've reiterated it over the last 20 months because I had to keep hearing it because I kept asking. Because even if we have the answer, doesn't mean we listen to it, right? Or doesn't mean we're ready to really hear all of it. And what I was told was I needed to stop seeing clients. I needed to stop doing one-on-one healing. I needed to stop doing all of this live teaching. I needed to stop working one-on-one with all of these students who were all exhausting me. And I needed to work on my books and also work on my global presence. And even though they told me that, it was very hard to pivot. And me getting knocked on the head and being completely incapable of doing certain things for a while forced me to pivot. I had no choice. I had to find something else I could do since I couldn't do that. And so this is sometimes what illness does, is it shows up in your life to force you onto a new path. It'd be better if we listened to the little nudges and didn't wait till it got to that point. But sometimes we can't hear. Sometimes we don't want to hear. Sometimes we choose to interpret what we hear in a particular way, which is what I did. And so then we just have to kind of be knocked off our path. And so one thing you always want to ask yourself when you're in the middle of a healing crisis is, what new path should I get on now? Maybe I was on the wrong path, or maybe it wasn't the wrong path. It was the right path for then, but it's no longer the best path. And so you want to stay away from judgment, because I think a lot of, you know, kind of new thought and metaphysics tends to judge people for being sick. And, you know, judging yourself for being sick is never going to help you recover. And so you also want to keep those people out of your life. People in your life who are judging you for being sick, those are the people you want to remove. They're not helpful. The only reason they're judging you is because they're afraid of getting sick. And they think that if they can come up with a failure on your part that caused you to be sick, and they can ensure that they don't have that failure, then they can protect themselves from ever getting what you have. And so that's just a kind of emotionally immature way of handling illness that a lot of people have. So you want to remove those people from your life when you're on your healing journey. And so when I say, what new path do you need to get on? It's not about there being anything wrong with the old path. It's about now it's time for a new path. And so for me, the new path was publishing all of my books. And so I'm working on I just got a contract for my second book. My third book's almost finished. And that's the path that I'm on now. And teaching, making my teachings, available worldwide through this online course that's available globally. But what new path do you need to get on to get better? I've had so many clients come to me and they were sick and they really would benefit from a pivot. And sometimes, the illness was so severe, like in my case, that they had no choice but to pivot. Right. And one of the things that's important to do when that happens is to not spend too much time being sad about that. Of course, we're always going to grieve loss. And so if you lose a way of life or you lose a partner or you lose an aspect of your life that you used to have, of course, there's going to be a grieving process. I still grieve the loss of seeing my clients every day. It was my life. I love healing people and it's been difficult to be on this break. I know that I'll be able to return to it one day, but of course I've grieved that loss. But you can't get stuck in that. And that's what happens a lot when people are dealing with serious illness and disability, is that you can get very stuck in all that you have lost. I remember when I first got sick in the 90s, I was so devastated by the fact that I couldn't run anymore. And that's because running was a big part of my identity. I was a lifelong athlete and I was a runner who just ran because it's what I did. I didn't run to compete. I didn't run to go in marathons. It wasn't to work out. It wasn't to lose weight. It was just who I was and what I enjoyed doing. And then to lose that, it was devastating. And so, of course, you have to grieve those losses of who you used to be, right? And how you used to identify and how people used to see you. But you can't stay in that, because once you get past that, then you're ready to embrace the new you on the new path. And those changes had to happen in order for you to be the new person on the new path. And so the pivot that I encourage my clients to make in the wake of a difficult illness or disability is that pivot to, okay, what does my new path look like? What's waiting for me to do now? What am I uniquely situated to do now? Let me give you an example. I had a client once who, I forget what the exact illness was, but she became very sick with a rare condition, and it was very debilitating, and it completely upended her life. She had to quit her job. She divorced, and she had to stop doing a lot of the things that she used to do, and it was very upsetting, very hard to deal with. And what came up in her session, when we started looking at her soul purpose and the larger spiritual purpose of this illness, was that she had come into this life as a demonstration teacher soul. And demonstration teacher souls come to teach something to the world. And those who do it through demonstration do it by demonstrating something in their own life. And there are lots of ways to teach, and demonstration is just one way. And so she was actually perfectly situated to become a spokesperson for this illness and for the way that she managed her illness, what her, you know, her journey taught her, and how she was able to then advise other people on how best to address this condition. And so she ended up starting an organization and becoming a spokesperson. And she could not have become that person if not for the illness. You see, the illness put, you know, put her in a position to become that person. And this is often the case, that the illness puts you in a particular position where you are able to fulfill a particular purpose. And so that's what you want to ask yourself. If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're dealing with a chronic illness or a disability that's life-altering, ask yourself, what am I particularly situated to do in this circumstance? All right? And I'll tell you something funny that my guides told me along these lines. So years ago, when I was first diagnosed with my heart condition, I was extremely disabled. I could only walk a few yards, and I had to spend most of my time in bed. And I was still working full-time as a professor, and so I just had all these little bed desks and little desks by the couch, and I would just work while sitting or reclining. And I was very frustrated by this debilitation, and I asked, you know, my inner physician and my inner healer, you know, why am I like this? And they said, oh, we had to debilitate you because you were debilitating all over the place, and we wanted you to sit still and go within and learn how to meditate. And sure enough, I learned how to meditate, because I spent a lot of time laying down, playing meditation music and reflecting. And I developed finally an ability to meditate, an ability that I had lacked before, because as my guide said, you're debilitating all over the place. Right? I was busy, 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 busy. So sometimes life has to stop us for a particular purpose. Now, once I learned how to meditate, I then went on to be able to teach other people how to meditate and to become a meditation leader. The illness uniquely situated me to be able to learn that and do that. And that's going to be the case in any illness, that there's something that you're learning from the experience. Now, sometimes all of the learning isn't happening by the person who's sick, but it's happening by the people around the sick person. So sometimes what you're doing as a sick person is you are teaching those around you. And so sometimes you may need to recognize, okay, what am I teaching in this state of being? What am I teaching other people? My caretakers, my family, my friends, my witnesses. What are they learning from my experience of disease or disability? Because sometimes that's the role of the healing journey. It's to teach others. We are listening to a Kuan Yin mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. Some of you may be familiar with it, and it's from the YouTube channel For Relaxing. So check it out. And thank you for listening. And I will see you next time. This has been Journal of a Medical Intuitive. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest.